The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the king. Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and I want to just thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show live for you today. Today is Thursday, March the 3rd, 2016. We have a live show with you today. Brother Davis is in queue. Can't wait for this show today. And today, but before we do talk about today's show and before we get into today's show, we always know that we must take care of the first and most important business of the day when it regards to the network and the radio show and the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Everyone, please support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that the network brings you. Make your monetary donations if you possibly can, and make your donations of your time, make your donations of your professional services. Tell people about the Black Talk Radio Network, your friends, your family members, so that the network can grow and do the things that it needs to do, and it can be a conduit of assistance for you, your family, and our overall community. So make sure that we don't lose Black Talk Radio Network and the great programs that are there on the network. So, so important, especially in these days and these times. It's always been important, and we have learned from our past mistakes of not supporting the things that have been beneficial to us and allowing them to go and to be thrown out to the wolves of the disinformation and the propaganda that is there to take and to steal the message that they have that's for the overall prospering and the prosperity of the general population. So make sure that you support Black Talk Radio Network. Do what you can, when you can, as often as you can, and be involved and engage yourself in the network. You know, it's so, so important that we do this, because without you, the network would not be here. And it's really required, not required, but it's really necessary for us to understand the importance of our participating in the network to assist it. You know, it's very easy to tune in and listen, but it takes some real commitment to work and assist a network by whatever it is that you can. Very easy when you can just listen, but there are some things that have to be done in order to keep that to where that people can turn and tune in and listen and gain from it all. So as I always say, don't just be a person that eats the fruit of the tree. Someone has to feed the roots. And if you're eating from the fruit, you should be the first to actually feed the roots of the tree so that it will bear more fruit. So go to Black Talk Radio Network, make your monetary donations, donate whatever it is that you can, your time, your professional services. And like we say, help this network to grow. Also, go to Tando Radio Show, that's Tando Radio Show on Facebook, and check out what we have there. And while you're there, stop, give us a like, make a comment, or if you have something that you would like for us to show within Tando Radio Show, go ahead and post it there, and I will definitely put it up. So let's take a look real quickly before we get into today's show. Today's show, Brother Davis is in queue. And Brother Davis is going to be here today and talking about the perception and protection, and it's going to be about the overall how to work a gun show and what you can expect so that you won't be intimidated, so that you can actually find some of the deals. And this is, you know, right up Brother Davis's alley. Is one of my specialties also. So I'm really looking forward to today's show. Brother Davis is in queue, and we're going to get to that as soon as we possibly can. So let's go to Tando Radio Show. And let's jump into what has been posted there since yesterday. Didn't post that much today, was very busy, but here we go. This was from the, this is from royallondon.com. And I said that this is a must read. It said the death of retirement. Very, very important. Everyone check out this. Know what it is. Know what it's being said there and know how it is not just the retirement. It's so, so much more. Then there's the next article that goes hand in hand with it from the Telegraph. And I said the last two postings go together. Please read and catch what is unfolding. Anytime you hear austerity, structuring, reforms, and investment, that means the theft has been at work. The theft is at work. There are actively, excuse me, that means a thief has been at work. Sorry about that. I meant to put thief. I put theft. Sorry about that. So change that. It's very, very important that we understand what's going on here. They tell you everything. They tell you everything. Whenever you hear austerity, structured reforms, and investment, know that that means that they have already taken everything from you, and now they need to have a crisis in order to bring about the plausible deniability to cover up the real conspiracy of the fraud, the theft, and the overall taking and deceiving of the people, and taking their overall means of maintaining a quality of life and a standard of living. So check out this article. It says the Euro depression is deliberate. EU choice, says former Bank of England chief. The Euro depression is deliberate. EU choice, says former Bank of England chief. And it says Europe's deep economic malaise is the result of a deliberate policy choices made by the EU elite, according to the former governor of the Bank of England. Why is this happening? Once again, this is a part of the Western purge, the Western banking purge. And this, what that basically means is that they're going to set up the bankers to take the fall here, but the real target is you. Every person listening to this radio show that is living in the continental United States, in the lower 48, and within all of the states, in all of the countries that are tied economically to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. Economic dollar hegemony and the engine that economy drives. You are the target in this whole thing. So check out that article. Very, very important. Next one comes from www.fin.gc.ca, which stands for Canada. And what this is the official Canada official international reserves for March the 3rd, 2016. And one of the things that you can see where in this, you look at it, and what do you see? Lo and behold, Canada has no gold on the books. Absolutely no gold is on Canada's books as of today, March the 3rd, 2016. Very, very important. We'll talk about this at a later time. Huge. Next, we have, this one comes from, what is it? Can't see this. Okay, commondreams.org. Payday loan sharks have a good friend in government, Democratic Party chair. The sketchy payday loan sharks, whose short-term high interest loans trap millions of Americans in a cycle of debt, have a new ally on Capitol Hill, the Democratic National Convention chairman. This is all a part of the whole thing. You know, everything from the payday loans to all of the scams and everything else, this is all institutionalized from the very source in the very top of the organized crime chain mechanism, and that being governments throughout the world. Check out this article, very telling, just to let you know, just in case you thought that these people meant you some real, were serving you and cared about you. Haha, this is what they're going to continue to do, and it gives you an indication of what their purpose is and what they're going to do to you in the future. So check out this article. Regardless of who they put in front of you, what they look like, what they sound like, oh, how nice they are and everything else, look at their deeds, not look at their deeds and not their creed. Their creed is what they say they want to do, but their deeds are their actual displaying of who they really are. Next one, next article, real good one, comes from activistpost.com. Says, so it begins. American police start pushing to weaponize domestic drones. And why do you think that is? That is because of many, many reasons. And one of the reasons is because of, in my opinion, they are going to be very resourceful in the economic turmoil that is coming. So, but we won't touch on that today. We'll touch on it a little bit later. Next one we have, this one comes from the Guardian.com. Says, NATO commander, ISIS spreading like cancer among refugees. And what I like to say on this one, this is what you call a press conference threat. Somebody in the EU was just put on notice. And what do I mean by that? Listen to what the NATO commander, which is General Breedlove, says, ISIS is spreading like cancer among the refugees. And where are they spreading like cancer? They're spreading all through Europe, and they're spreading also here. Why is that? Because that is a part of, you can just substitute that for what the former Bank of England governor said, that it's deliberate. It's completely deliberate. And this is the threats that we're going to have to deal with from the people that are supposed to be in place to serve and protect you and to actually maintain your overall freedom, with a understanding that it's, they work for you. But this is not what the case is. This is not how it works. They're going to use this as a great Trojan horse for the overall purposes of the agenda and the systematic destruction of your way of life and our way of life, because they want to enslave people even further. It's too many people on the planet and are starting to wake up, and they become a too loud and too threatening. So this is the article. Check this out. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Next one comes. Pentagon sells smart bombs to Turkey. They're selling bunker busters to Turkey. I mean, who do you think they're going to use that on? It's all a charade, but who do you think they're going to use that on? They're going to use that on the Russians and Assad. This is going to get ugly very soon. Next article comes from RT, RussiaToday.com. Says Flint fallout. Schools across the United States find elevated lead levels in drinking water. Several schools across the United States have found evidence of higher than accepted levels of lead in the drinking water. This comes in the wake of the Flint, Michigan issues. This is, if you have never been to your child's school, one of the things I've told my children, never ever drink the water at the school. Have you smelled it? And this is not just in one part of the country. This is everywhere. They're purposely, and it always has been, a design agenda to target the children. And this is an extension of that. So we'll talk about that one later also. But today is Wise Thursday with Brother Davis, and the focus is going to be the perception to protection, how to navigate the gun shows nationwide. And we have Brother Davis in queue. Don't want to keep him waiting too much longer. Brother Davis, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dave. Good evening, brothers and sisters.
Hey, Brother Davis. It always brings a smile on my face, and it brings great, great pleasure and joy to my heart to hear your voice. How you doing, Brother Davis?
Well, there's nothing as comforting as the voice of a friend, my brother.
Yes, it is. That is so, so true. Looking forward to today's show. And Brother Davis, as you know, this is so important, especially in the time that we're currently living in and sharing our physical existence with. And it's you know, some things are going on all over the country, and we just want to get our people as prepared as possible. And I know that, you know, there has been an agenda throughout our community from a certain party within the so-called two-headed snake that has pushed a certain agenda to try to get us away from self-protecting and things of that nature, and being able to rely on yourself in case of need, because what they want you to do is always be a part of the system, but then get everything from the system. And there's just some things that you should never, ever surrender your overall full confidence to, because it can actually cause some physical harm to you and your family. And, you know, the gun shows and purchasing firearms as a means of protection is not something that's really talked in our community at all. And this really needs to change, because there is a need. It is a right, and it's not a right given to you by the Constitution. It's a right given to you by the great Creator God Almighty to defend yourself in an appropriate manner, in an appropriate way, and in an appropriate time. So, Brother Davis, I'm going to turn this over to you. I'm going to be right here. I'm eager to engage in this with you at any time, and some of our listeners, and definitely they definitely should be calling in today, because of some of the things that you're going to be talking about that can be directly beneficial to themselves and their family. So with that said, Brother Davis, thank you for taking on this this gun show thing, and why it's relevant, why it's important, and why we should be engaging it from a standpoint of how does this best serve our interests and our needs. So with that, Brother Davis, turn it over to you. Hello. If you need anything, I'm right here.
Okay, well, good evening, brothers and sisters. And I wanna first start the show off with a stipulation. And my stipulation is, I'm doing this show because I've heard the hearts of several people who have been put in situations which really they were overwhelmed with. And the reason why is because a lot of them had to go and make these decisions to go in these areas alone. And we have to understand that it is our responsibility to protect our women. That's no one else's. And we must rise to that responsibility, regardless of what the circumstances allows. Now, I do believe, like I've always said, there's something greater at work, but I still have to give the connection on the level in which is needed in order to keep the door open. And the reason why I say that is because I don't personally feel that there's going to come a point where you may have to have this. But if you do, it's best that you know and have it. They're not. And this is why I'm doing the show. Do I have personal protection? Absolutely. But I want you to understand that with this kind of protection comes a responsibility. You see, people fail to realize that the authority that is given to any tool is given by the person who wields that authority. So when you hear about people going out here and doing some crazy stuff, it ain't always because of something tipping their system or they might have mental problems. No, it's because that particular time of day, mentally, they felt this is what they wanted to do. And the sad part about it is, some people do things that produce positive things, but in most cases, when you're dealing with something like weaponry, the side effect is carnage. Believe me, you don't need a gun to plant flowers. But in reality, it wouldn't hurt to have one on your hip, because who knows who's watching you and your guard. And we're moving to those times. And that's why we have to have this conversation. Now, the reason why I wanted to do it at this particular time was because I've heard other sisters going to these shows and listening to their comments. I had to say, well, there had to be more than one woman in this situation in which they're becoming overwhelmed because they don't have someone there that they could trust enough to give them the insight to lead them. Okay? So literally, I'm not trying to lead. I'm just trying to open the door so you'll have an understanding on what you may have to do in that circumstance. So, we're talking about gun shows. Now, these are sponsored by many companies, and most of them are gun manufacturers. Don't kid yourself. The demand for guns has gotten great to make someone else rich. And the sad part about it is that a lot of times we do not know the cutting edge of the technology, so some guns can be rendered useless. So we're going to try to ease through these here processes so that we can open the door so you can find comfort in knowing that if you have a gun with a certain amount of training, you have the authority and the ability to make the decisions of when and when not to use that gun. And this is what this is about. Okay? Now, since I put that out there, let me say this. You are going to enter one of the most highly competitive convention shows there is on the market today. Why? Because the media has created a frenzy around the fear. Now, these things go hand in hand because the fear was created in order to induce an atmosphere. This atmosphere that they induced were in order so that they can move in and out of it and tweak areas so that they can control them. And the reason why they wanted to control them, as you hear Dave tell you every day, there's something else that is going on that may not be as clear to you as can be made when somebody brings it to your attention. And the sad part about it is that when they do bring it to your attention, a lot of times fear sets in before wisdom. And a lot of times, because you can have something that offers you an avenue of protection, you do not have as much fear. So we want to keep that in mind. If at any time that you have any questions, please call. And the reason why is because we're going to cover a wide range of concepts tonight. The mental concept, because there's a mental connection involved in it. The physical concept, because there's a physical connection involved in it. Environmental concept, because there's an environmental attribute. And the emotional concept. Now, because there is always, whenever you have family, there's also an emotional attachment. Bear in mind, with that responsibility, you're going to have to get some accessories to assure you that when you are not in a position or when you're not using that weapon, that's in a place of security, and that those who may be children or be an understanding of how this operates will not have access to it. Because they can do personal damage without realizing what they're dealing with. So, in giving you the prerequisites, let's move forward to asking some basic questions. First, what type of gun do I need? Do you need a big gun? You need a small gun. Are you in an urban area? Or are you in a suburban area? And the reality is, you are in an area in which you had to make a decision based on the needs of the family. Okay, so say we're in a suburban area. You don't need a rifle to shoot a target a mile and a half away. And they got them. You need something that's going to literally take the pressure off you, give you the security of knowing it's effective, but you don't want it to be over damaging. Now, what is over damaging? Well, say you go out here and you want to get a gun that feels comfortable to you. And yeah, you buy one and shoot it a few times and it feels pretty good. And you go to a gun range and you try it out with some classes and you're using it on the target. And as you shoot the target, you're blowing it apart. Well, that may be too much firepower. So you don't want to shoot somebody and the bullet goes to them and then it goes to the wall and then it goes 2, 3, or 4 houses down through their wall. Because in reality, that's more than you need. And although it is sufficient, there's still going to be a criteria involved, like munitions and so forth. And all of these things come into play when you want to make a decision like this, because literally, first of all, you want to stay within your budget. But you want something sufficient for that budget. See? And one of the things we have to do is consider the caliber. Now, in any situation, in any environment, you're going to have to consider the caliber of the weapon. because a lot of times you can get a gun, a caliber weapon that is too small, not efficient enough. So literally, it might be comfortable for you, but not efficient enough to do the job. So we want to keep that in mind. And another thing we want to keep in mind is where we're going to keep it. Do we want to keep it honest? If we want to keep it honest, then that's what you call a personal weapon. Personal weapon means everything you do, you got to be conscious of that weapon. Is it a weapon that requires a safety mechanism? And if so, you must always be conscious of the safety mechanism, because the safety mechanism must be released before it comes, before the weapon is functional. Now, they have what's called these new striker weapons. The striker weapons require minimal function. A lot of times, you can just pull them and shoot. But the side problem with that is that anytime you're in a closed situation, that could work two ways. So you have to give yourself room and trust your ability and your training. And let me reiterate, and I'll do this several times. Don't think that you do not require training. Everybody should be training when they choose a weapon. Yep. And the reason why I say when they choose a weapon is because then they'll be getting the training suitable for that weapon. Would you like to add to that, Dave?
You know what, Brother Davis, that is, you and I both know how important that is. Let me tell you, if you do not plan on getting trained with a firearm, then don't purchase one. It is so important, because if you don't know how to use it and use the particular weapon that you have, it can easily, very easily, be taken away from you or used against you. So Brother Davis is spot on. I don't want to, I was just totally agreeing. Yes, that is the most important thing. You have to be trained on what it is that you have. The gear that you have, you must know it inside and out. But go ahead, Brother Davis.
One of the unique things about a weapon is that in most cases, the ultimate is a surprise. You always want to appear so you don't have nothing. That's what works for you. If you don't think so, go watch TV. Those people who are showing weapons are always surprised when someone pulls one out of nowhere. And there's certain mechanisms that work for you and they work against you. Okay, so let's take, for instance, a woman. And she wants a weapon that can be very easily concealed, because she may be out with the children one day or whatever. And she wants it to be able to be versatile, so it's less function if she needs to pull it out. Okay? So if that's the case, that she wants something that's small enough to be concealed. Well, there's some powerful weapons that are small enough to be concealed nowadays on the market. And some of those weapons really are quite cheap. I mean, when I say cheap, you can go out here and buy specials, what they used to call the old Saturday night specials, for almost nothing, because literally they don't have any firepower. You get a 25 caliber for $120, $140, and basically you can get ammunition for it anywhere. But depending on what you want to spend $120, $140 for, you can shop around and find other things. Now understand this, in every case, you're not looking for a high-end weapon in that price range. But the reason why I started there is because it's a place where you know if you're going to buy a weapon that is at least offering you any magnitude of comfort, it's going to be at least, I'd say, $130, $150 minimally. And that's conjecture. When I say that, I mean, you can go out and buy some certain gun. You can probably buy a .380 for $180. That's a good functional one. I have one. I have a .380 Bursa. And the reason why I have a .380 Bursa is because it's lightweight. It's easy to pull. It does have a safety mechanism, but the safety mechanism is right at my thumb point, in which when I pull it out, my thumb is literally right on the safety. So if I slide it down, as I pull it out, the safety is released. If you don't know anything about guns, when you see a red dot, that red dot means the safety's on. And they cover, when you push that mechanism down, then the safety's off. These are little things you'll learn when, depending on the type of weapon you get. And a non-striker weapon, it means a weapon that does not have a cock, a trigger that you cock back, or a hammer that you pull back, that's called a non-striker. And literally, you can get those in any semi-automatic round. And that 380, that literally has a trigger. So, like I said, they got a safety mechanism on them, so you must understand the process of how they work. Now, also, for my own personal weapon, I have a 9mm Smith & Wesson. Now, this the weapon is a non-striker. Now, one of the unique things about these is that they call this a fear factor. Don't bet on it. But if someone was coming in your around your house and all of a sudden you heard noises, people think you can go like this. And when they hear that, the person who's outside or who may be trying to get in will become fearful, because that picking mechanism that you heard means that I've just placed a round in the chamber and now I'm in a firing position. Now, if a person knows anything about weapons and they don't have one, in most cases, they're going to try to get the way, get out your way, because now they realize they've crossed the line. They don't want to go too far. But never depend on that to be true. Okay? And keep in mind that your experience of going out to the range and shooting that weapon is going to add to your confidence of the functionality of that weapon. But it doesn't add to the confidence of the functionality of you. So always stay within your perimeter. You don't want to hunt a predator. And the reason being is because that means you need to move around. All you need to do is establish a safe place for your family to have and call the police. And as your family's in that place, you stay in guard. They have only one door to that place, if possible. No windows, if possible. But if not, make sure your children or whoever that you want to protect is in a situation where they cannot see but them, but you can see out. Because these are the things that work to your advantage. Any shelter becomes a cover. Would you like to add to that, Brother Dave?
Me, definitely, definitely. Great. You know, Brother Davis, you've hit on so many great things. And so what Brother Davis is saying is that with a firearm, it's not only just you have to learn the nomenclature of your particular firearms, because all of these firearms are different. Brother Davis talked about a striker fire weapon. Then there's single action and double action weapons. There's revolvers. There's this. There's that. You have to know your weapon inside and out. And then you have to know the capabilities of yourself and the tactics that you have, because once you have a weapon, you become a tactical threat to any and everyone. You become a tactical threat to yourself, your family, and to anyone that is trying to do you harm. And you need to understand and train, just get training, very good practical training on what are some of the tactics that you need to deploy and understand when it comes to having a firearm in your possession. Brother Davis talked about cover and concealment. So important. So, so important. And this is what you need to have whenever you're dealing with someone with a firearm, or even if you have a firearm. It's so, so important. So, Brother Davis, great, great. And I'm just sitting back and enjoying, and definitely listen, callers, if you have any questions or comments you would like to make, definitely give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound and hit star 61. We're going to go to a commercial break. You'll hear three commercials, and then we'll be right back with the perception and protection. The Gun Show Navigation with Brother Davis and the overall gun community. So, so important how you should be looking at and playing this whole thing out. Hold on, Brother Davis. Hold on to all of the Tando Radio Show listeners. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
The world will soon place you and your family members under geopolitical, economic, and social unrest. Are you ready? If your answer is no, then this is the opportune time for you to become informed, aware, and prepared for soon coming events. For only $25 per month, become educated in the area of precious metals and disaster preparedness for your home and businesses. For more information, email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. Because becoming an entrepreneur is very empowering, we would also like to encourage you in firing your boss. Learn the wonderful opportunities in the Forex market. Find out more about these proven strategies at www.imarketslivinternational.com. The time has come that we become empowered instead of exploited.
You are tuned in to the Sando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, brothers and sisters. We just gave a quick preliminary on when a handgun in the house situation as a protection, a form of protection. Now, understand, with a handgun, you have a certain amount of limitations. Always keep your limitations in mind because you have to be able to articulate your thought process in any given situation. And if something's happening at your house and you ran off 3 or 4 rounds over here, and you all of a sudden in another situation, and you got to be mindful of how many rounds is in that weapon at all times. You also should be mindful of how to reload that weapon at its value. These things you should be practicing, okay? And the reason why I stopped here and say okay is because that's only in a handgun situation at home. There's other guns you can have. Let's take, for instance, a 12-gauge shotgun. Very common. And you could probably pick one up, those up anywhere from $200 to $300. 12-gauge shotgun is actually a very good home weapon, especially if you're in the urban area or the suburban area. Now, the reason why I say that is because literally there are several different types of shotguns. 12-gauge are the most common. And you can get them in several forms. There's single action and there's the pump action. And a lot of times people fail to realize the accuracy that you can achieve with a shotgun because it shoots what's called buckshot. And some of that buckshot can come as powder, can come as salt. In most situations, it comes as shot. Now, shot are little balls that are packed into a cartridge that is packed by powder and a firing pin. And actually, they're very simple to load. I mean, most of them, once you either, if it's a pump action, you have maybe 5 to 7 rounds in it. So you would just load them according to your training. Or if it's a double barrel, simple action. Just remember, a double barrel in some cases will have two triggers and 2 hammers. And anytime you have a barrel shotgun, in most cases, if it is a hammer action, that hammer has to be cocked. Always be mindful of what is going to be required of you to utilize this weapon. Now, the reason why I'm choosing this route is because I want to give you an idea of what to look for up front. See, because you can get the shotguns in a 12-gauge, you can get them 18-gauge, you can get 20-gauge. And the 20 gauges are smaller, easier to work with, and they have less kill power, but they have kill potential. And understand this, anytime you're dealing with a gun on any level, they all have kill potential. There is, the guns have been created for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that's the potential here. And then you hear people say, oh, no, no, it literally deters, well, you know, in most cases, if a person has a gun and you have a gun, the deterrent is gone. At that point, they're trying to think how to outwit you so they can be more forceful to get what it is they want from you. And I'm throwing some different gauges out here. There's a lot of different guns. I mean, you can go with a shotgun, you can go with Mos Burgers. They make them in the old Marlins. You can get almost any state, any level of that. And when I say 12 gauge or 18, 16 gauge, 20 gauge, these are all functional weapons and good for urban home detection. And one of the reasons why I'm pointing this out is because literally, if you're shooting a person up close with a shotgun, you're going to do great damage. But if you're shooting a person far away, you may do enough damage to get them away from you. So all of these things come into play. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I want you to see that there are very, very different parameters in every situation. Okay? Now, you could also consider a revolver. Revolvers are guns that have cylinders that go around. And most cases, I believe they're all hammer action. But you can get them in various calibers. They are not as expensive as the automatic weapons. Automatics are ones that come with a magazine and require ejecting one of the empty shell and loading a live shell in a simultaneous action. So that's what they call a dual action. But yet and still, depending on the gauge or the caliber, is where you're really going to be the most effective. And depending on whether you're shooting close or far away will determine whether you're going to be the most effective. Whether you have gone to the range to spend some time with this weapon is also going to determine your ability to be accurate with it or inaccurate with it. When it comes to the round of guns, one of the more popular ones out there right now is the Glock. Actually, the Glock 19. It's an easy shot. It's a slide action, which is an easy pull. And it's easy to teach somebody how to use. And it's a very accurate and reliable weapon. I'm looking at several now, and I don't mind telling you that because I'm at a point right now where I have to upgrade. And those people who are out there who may think you have a weapon that you've had for a while and that you're comfortable with, you may want to look at the economics and the time, because the reason why I'm upgrading is because I don't know what the future holds, but I better be prepared than unprepared. Do I ever want to use this in this manner? No. I'm hoping I'm never going to be in this situation again. When I say again, I'm a Vietnam veteran, so I have my own goals. But I never want to be in a situation again where I have to do this, because I have seen what the damage can be done. Would you like to add anything to that, Dave?
Yes. And it's so important, you know, that we understand. Brother Davis and I have seen the ill effects and the damage that firearms can do. And we've also seen how the effects that they can do in protecting yourself. And you have to really understand, you know, what it is that you have and the respect that you need to have for it is critical. So it's something that you have to master this tool. You really, really have to master this tool. You do not want to be an apprentice. You never would give a 10-year-old child a keys to a Gulfstream 5 jet and tell them to fly you home. And it's the exact same thing with a firearm, because once you pick a firearm up, they you know, they always talk about assault weapons, assault weapons. Anytime someone has a firearm in their hand, regardless of what caliber, what kind of firearm it is, that is an assault weapon. And so you have to treat it with that type of respect, because once that missile goes down range, that projectile goes down range, it's nuclear until it is no longer moving. Because once it hits something, you can never bring back what it is it has hit. And this is one of the things with a firearm, is that you never ever want to have to pull it or present it. And you never want to cover anyone with it that you don't want to kill or destroy, because that's its capability. It's not the firearm, it's the person that's engaging that firearm that is the real threat. And this is why you have to make sure that you're not a threat other than to those that you mean to be a threat to at the appropriate time. So Brother Davis is definitely spot on. There's different firearms. You know, revolvers, handguns, shotguns, and long weapons. And Brother Davis will give you some of that stuff and tell you about how to start to pick out things for yourself and everything. This is the basis of everything. You know, this is not something that you can just do in one show. Brother Davis, it took months and months and months and years and actual engaged in combat to understand what it is that he knows. It's taken me months and months and years from in the military and from being in as a police officer out in the street and shootings and everything else to get what it is to understand. And even Brother Davis and myself, if we're together and we have a firearm around each other, there are safety practices that we hold each other accountable to at all times. And this is something that's so important. You have to have the proper training when it comes to this. Everyone in this country, there's a lot of guns in this country, but it's even more people that don't know how to use the guns that they have. And that is more deadly than anything else. And that is a real, real problem. You can't just buy a gun and think that you are protected. No, you just increase the overall threat to yourself and your family in so many different ways. But you have to know those so that you can mitigate the threats and to minimize them. So, no, Brother David, spot on. Loving it.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to tell you, man, you had mentioned several different things I was going to lead to. And the reason why I was going to lead to it is because I wanted to have a little bit of knowledge, but not too much, because literally... Right. Whenever you go to a show and you see something you like and you pick it up and it feels good, before you go, you want to make sure that you have a certain amount of knowledge already. One of the things you want to know is that there's someplace you can go and get trained with this weapon. So, say you find a person who's, has a range and they have accessibility to a range. And that they would like to take you out there when you get a weapon, but they'll tell you, don't get along. And you say, well, okay, I'm going to get a weapon. They say, don't get along. What a long means, that's a weapon that they shoot long distances. Okay, so in most cases, that's a rifle. And then when I say a rifle, there are certain rifles that are designed with a percentage of accuracy built into the design. And one of the best parts about that is that most people, we used to get those in the early years, used to get them for hunting. And a lot of times you can get them in smaller calibers and you can get them in larger calibers, because the 22 long, which is a 22 rifle, I grew up shooting the squirrels and rabbits as a child. When I say as a child, I'm talking about 14, 15, 16. I wasn't like totally out of control. I just had awareness of it. And that's one of the things that we used to do as kids in the country where we did that. You know what I mean? Because couldn't do that in a city in most cases. Which adds, gets to you a little bit more about me, but then, you also want to consider who and your trust factor. And when I say who, if a person says, okay, well, look, you know, I know a nice range where we can go and shoot, inquire about it. Where's the range at? And let them take their, don't, in your mind, even if you don't write it down in front of them, but in your mind, make a note of that address. Okay. And then sometimes stop by there and help them. See how friendly they are. Because we live in a hostile time. You don't want to go someplace where this person thinks he's connected and find out that he ain't as connected as he thought he was. Because then you're in a situation that now has just went hostile. At any time a situation goes hostile, there's a perspective of danger that's involved. And the sad part about that perspective of danger is that it's yours now. Where even if he wasn't aware of it, it's yours now. What if there a range that is run by a group of bikers? And what if they don't like you or people like you? So anybody who wants to start something can find any reason. And you don't want to put yourself in that circumstance. That's why you ride by. If you feel comfortable, go up, walk in, say, how you doing? I'll just come in to see how much of this range is available to the public. See, these are questions that you can ask that don't make you appear suspicious. You ain't even got to mention the person's name. And the reason why I say that is because you don't know how connected he is. He might just know one person in there. You may be able to build a relationship with somebody in there that can literally help you in your circumstance if you carry yourself right. And carrying yourself right means being pleasant and open to conversation. Do you have to pursue? No. And when I say pursue, if a person says, well, you know what? Yeah, if you look in the market for the guns, yeah, we could train you. And here's a list of weapons on the wall here that we train people with. And we got a list of trainers over here. Well, that's opportunity. And see, now you could see what this facility trains in, as well as see who the trainers are if their names are on the wall. You don't have to meet any of them. You understand what I'm saying? When you go on a information, and this is what this would be. This would be a search for information. You don't want to appear as though you're trying to find out what they offer the public privately. You want to see what they offer the public publicly. And I want to try to get that right because, you know, some people think, well, I want to go in and I want to create this story, and all of a sudden, if they got to go back to this place, they better remember that story. Because somebody in there always hears what you're talking about, especially if you're new. So you want to be able to stay focused about what you're trying to do there. Then you want to be focused about what they may show you on the walls of what they train in. And then you might even say, you know what, I was wondering if there's any other facilities like this in this area. Because in most cases, at this time of year, they don't mind telling you. You know why? Because they're busy. Believe me.
Yep.
There's some other place that is close. You want to add to that, Dave?
Yes. No. Sure do, Brother Dave. And I know you were going to touch on this part. Brother Davis is absolutely right. You want to do your own due diligence and search and do your research on the overall places you want to go. One of the things with the gun shows, I mean, with the going to a range, one of the things that you want to find out is when is their slowest time. When are they having their slowest time? When are they not having as many people at that gun range at that time? That's when you want to go. Why? Because think about it. You're a person that has never handled a gun, never shot a gun before, and you're going to go to a range. Guess who else is going to be at the range? People that go out to a gun range that have never shot a gun before. And guess what? They are extremely dangerous because they don't know. You have to assume that no one knows anything about safety. So that's one of the things you want to definitely do when it comes to gun ranges. And if you go to a gun range, you put yourself on the extreme left or extreme right. Even if you have to wait for that for an hour or two, do not place yourself in the middle, because what you're doing is you're placing yourself in more harm's way with the percentages of the people that are all around you. You don't know them. You don't know them. And it's very, very important. I've seen some god-awful things at gun ranges. I particularly prefer having someone that you know that is qualified to teach you to how to shoot, the tactics with shooting, how to take care of your weapon, and go to an outdoor range where no one else is around. But not everyone has that luxury. You know, in Southern California and in Texas, we have that luxury. But try to find Luke. That is a better. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Okay, and another thing you want to keep in mind, as Dave was saying, some things happen at ranges. They don't want out. Accidents happen. Somebody in the stall next to them when they have what's called open stage. Now, what is an open stage? Well, when you go into a range, they should have stalls. And if these stalls have what's called clapboards. Now, what's clapboard? That means when you go in the stall, you can close the door behind you. And there'd be enough room in that stall for two people. You can lay your weapon down. You can lay your munitions down. And if it's a good range, you have a button which your target can move back and forth. And the reason why I say that is because, say you were shooting it at 20 feet. Now, 20 feet is not bad distance for a handgun. Because literally, it gives you a little feel for it, not right up on top of you. Most shootings in the city take place within 10 and 12 feet. A lot of people don't know that because most of the cities, when I say in the city, I mean in houses in the city. Okay? Because now when you're on the streets, entirely different scenario. Mm-hmm. But inside the house, most of those situations, they take place between, I'd say, 7 to 12 feet. But if you go to a range, it offers you ability to set your targets out a further distance. That's great because guess what? That's the type of range you want to get comfortable with. If they have enclosures where you can be in there, and then you ask questions, and these enclosures, are they bulletproof? And the reason why is because that makes that more of a quality range. You pay extra for that, and I don't mind. Because if the nut next door is not familiar with his gun and it goes off, I don't want it to go through the wall and be a victim of somebody's ignorance. Because you know what they're going to come around? They're going to come around and say, oh, I'm sorry. Well, is that going to make you feel better?
Right, Brother Jason.
So literally, right. you want to do your due diligence, and you also want to ask them, do you carry a liability? See, that lets you know if there's a liability insurance they carry in case situations like that may happen. Because I'm going to tell you now, and this may shock some of you, you'll go to some of these places, and people got their kids in there.
Right.
Literally. And see, these kids, you're only saying to yourself, how can they? But this is the fear factor in America now, y'all. They feel that if there's a gun in the house, everybody in that gun in that house should know how to operate that gun. And literally, there are they have family out shootouts now where they take a Saturday afternoon and there might be 700-800 people and they go to a range out in the mountains somewhere and they have a little picnic area there and they get these numbers and they all come with their own rounds. I'm going to tell you, they make this seem like a festival atmosphere. And you know how I know? Because I do my due diligence. I ain't going. I mean, think about it. I am a heavily melanated black man. And most of these places you go, there's no black people at all. What would I look like walking in and say, hey, Charlie, I got my 300 rounds? That don't make sense because I'm putting myself in danger. There might be just one in there that feels, oh, wow, I'm going to kill it because of their racial causes. And before you know it, everybody's agreeing with the story. Only takes one or two. They'll walk away and you're gone. So you have to live in the circumstance. And the one thing about life, when you're breathing and that tension in that atmosphere changes, and all of a sudden you feel that air of suspicion, and you are going to feel it at a gun show, make no mistake. And understand when you look at that sign, the sign says, no loaded weapons, and that tells you the greatest portion of these people got a weapon. All right? You have to keep all these things in mind. Okay, so now we have some idea of the type of weapon.
Wait, Brother Davis, let's go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come because it's the top of the hour. So just hold on to that thought. We're going to go. We got three commercials, and we'll be right back with Brother Davis. Very, very important. I hope you all are grasping this. As Brother Davis said, this is just the fundamentals because this is something that is very, very involved. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. That's brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Now I was about to take you to the atmosphere. Now I'm going to tell you something. To some of these people, it's a circus atmosphere. I mean, they're giddy. They're excited. You'd be surprised if you just hear them talking. They got 15, 16 guns. And they still hear the buy gun. I mean, it embodies an atmosphere of not only fear, but huntery. Now, huntery means these people, they get a joy out of hunting. Okay? And all of this is going through your mind, and you're looking up, and you ain't seeing a lot of you. And it might be 3,000-4,000 thick on the outside.
Wait, Brother Davis, let me interrupt. Brother Davis, it's so true, and it's something, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because it's something that people have to prepare themselves for, because if they're not prepared for it, especially if there's some sisters that's going to be going alone, try not to go alone, but if you have to go alone, this is what Brother Davis is doing, is trying to prepare you so you're not intimidated. From the very time that you pull into the parking lot or the parking structure or wherever they have it cordoned off for parking, you will hear and see the excitement in these people. And as Brother Davis said, you can hear them murmuring and just yakking it up. They are in the most happiest place. And there is, like he said, an environment that goes along with it. And it is something that you have to be mindful of. So it tells you what you're going to possibly be dealing with. And I'm glad you said that, Brother Davis, because, you know, from when, as soon as you park, you can see the way that they walk, the way that they move, you know, how excited they are. They can't wait. And I'm glad that you're bringing that up. But go ahead, Brother Davis.
No, straight up, these people are downright giddy. I mean, they're going in here and they're going to a fascinating show of, I'm saying, and hear this number clearly, anywhere from 10 to 40,000 different weapons.
Yep.
Now, they might be, just table might be all one kind of particular brand, just different models. You see what I'm saying? So this table may represent one vendor, and this vendor might have a table that's 12 feet long and 8 feet on the side, and it's full of weapons. And he got people there. And all they are doing is these weapons are on what's called gun holders, which literally are long tubes with pegs sticking out of them. And these pegs are on an angle, so when they look at that weapon, they're looking at that weapon in an action position. Understand this now. These people walking down, and if you want a 357s, oh, they got them over here. They got the Tarses over here. They got the Smith & Wesson's over here. And this is how they got it. I got the Lugers. They lay it out. So when you come in, there's going to be somebody at the door who's going to look down on you because they don't want you in there. And it might be smiteful. What you want? You will do everybody else do. But they want to intimidate you. You understand that? So here's what I do. When I set my gear to go, I'll start this Friday night. I lay out my Vietnam gear. I put my, once a Marine, always a Marine hat on. I'll probably wear my fatigues jacket with my old stripes on it. I wear my Vietnam veteran insignia. Because see, this makes you fit into them. So you have something in common. You don't have a camaraderie, but you have something in common. See, what they're looking for is somebody who don't fit in. See, when they see that, they know I know weapons. Okay? So that kind of eases them down. Then all of a sudden they're looking at you. They looking you up and down. So, yeah, well, what you looking for? That ain't none of their business. But I want to make this transition as easy as possible. Well, I don't know. I got a 9. I want to trade. I want to upgrade. See if I can go in here and get a Glock. What kind of Glock you looking for? Well, I was looking at the 19. What do you think? Yeah, then they go into their thing. Well, that 19's a fine weapon, but you know you can only get about, by the way, 14 to 15 grams of powder in it, in the shell. So you only got so much impact power, but I guess if you're just looking for something that's not a hollow point or a steel metal jacket, I said, they're throwing this stuff out at you to see if you know what it is. Alright. So then you come back and say, oh yeah, steel metal. I ain't never heard of that. And I heard of full metal. Bingo. You see what I'm saying? These are the games they play. But all you're doing is you want to get in, find what you're looking for, and then get out. Now, I like to go both days. And I'm going to tell you why. Because as an African American, it's one thing to purchase what you want, and then another thing to get it home. And then purchasing what you want at the best price. So I go up on Saturday and I set my buyer, the sellers I want, I set them up. But yeah, I'm looking for a trade. I'm trying to upgrade. I let them look at my weapon. Oh, that's pretty nice weapon. Now we can give you such and such. I'm trying to upgrade. So now what I'd like to do is find a nice package. Well, they know what you want. They know exactly what I'm talking about. So they get to moving around and say, okay, well, look here. You said you wanted a Glock, right? I said, yeah, well, I got some Glock 19s over here. And I got the FS over here. Now, all of these here initials don't mean that you're getting a different model. It may mean the accessory that the model possesses. Okay? Now, I know these guys are like, they got the engraved grips and all of that. They went extra for that. I don't need that. But now you have to play the game. Oh, that feels good. I've kind of rough on the hands. I don't like that. This is a little heavy. Stay, let me try with a magazine. Now they get a little uncomfortable. First thing they say is, well, it can be a clip. Now there's a difference between a magazine and a clip. A clip is a loaded magazine. Okay? Now, so they'll give you an empty magazine so you can get a little weight. Then they'll look at you and say, well, you know, you might add a pound and a half, maybe 2 pounds of ammunition because you're going to have it loaded and you consider the total weight. So that's going to be on the high end, but you can find out if it, you can feel if it's comfortable to you. Okay. So now you're making conversation. Now you might say, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let me look around a little more. What is your name, man? Here's my card. That's just how they do it. And the reason why they say, here's my card, is because they got so many people they're dealing with. And they want you to move on if you ain't a buyer. They're about making money, okay? So then you might jump from there and you go over to the Tarses. Say, okay, over there's a new gun manufacturer over there. So you go over there and you find out it's a Kanai. And you sit down and you say, yo, man, tell me a little bit about your weapon. Oh, this is the new Canic FP9, and it does this, it does that, this is the FP9, and then it's the FP9 SF, and they got all of this stuff. And well, what's the difference? You know, you want to get this information, but you don't want to hold any information that ain't focused on what you're looking for, okay? Because I'm going to tell you something, a lot of these here people, they treat these guns like toys. Literally, and a lot of them kids, people in there, you're going to see grown men act like kids in a candy. Oh, wow, I got me one. It just trips you out. You want to add anything to that, Dave?
No, it's so true. And what I really think you need to be mindful of that, but don't let that deter you or distract you from what you're going. You always go to a gun store with a purpose. And as Brother David said, one of the great things that he just said is what you do is you set everybody up on the first day, and then you make your purchases towards the end of the last day. Why? Because they're more amped to do a deal by then because they didn't meet the quota that they met or what they wanted, and you know, they want to. So it's so, so important. And just like, well, if you're going for ammunition, and as Brother Davis, because I know Brother Davis is going to say, if you're going for ammunition, you have to go early, and some of them people camp out for the ammunition, for certain ammunition, because the ammunition will be bought up.
Absolutely.
And so ammunition is something that you have to be there early for, and know what you're going for. But what Brother Davis just gave you, that jewel of going, setting up on one day and coming back towards the last couple of hours of the last day, there'll be more, there is more opportunities for you to get a better deal that way. So fantastic, Brother Davis. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So now as you go through here, you're going to smell different things, because they, you know, they like to sell what they call wild game, you know. It gives them the air of eating a piece of venison. Hey, I remember I had that shot up in last November. I took down a 6.300 pounder, man. I caught him in full stride, you know what I mean? And you know, the sad part about it is that I had to lug him out, so I had to go out and pick up my four wheel from the truck, drive my four wheel back about a quarter mile in the woods. Then when I got back, I had to hang him in field dressing. So if you don't know what any of this stuff means, literally, they're going to know that right away. So I tell them, so did you bury it, or did you just leave it drop? So now, did you bury it means to leave it drop. Bury it means that you, after you field dress, if you're getting all the innards out of them, just like you're cleaning a chicken. And then when it, after you, the innards are out, some people just leave them drop and go. Because if there's an area where wolves and that sort of thing, they'll come and eat that stuff up. But see, if you're really efficient about it, you dig a hole. That way, when your droppings drop, all you got to do is throw the dirt back in the hole and cover it back up. Some do, some don't. But these things come out in these different places. Now, here's what's so unique about me. I said, oh, did you taste that venison? No. Oh, the burgers are good. Oh, I can believe that. I can believe that. Well, you know, over there, they got a little something different. They got some squirrel, and they got some rabbit. They, you know, they get possums through that. This is what they call game. They're eating their game. They put themselves in the mind to make money. And people come to these shows with a specialty in a certain thing. Like, if your specialty is possum stew and it's good, and somebody that likes possum stew tastes it, oh, they're going to talk you up all over the place. And before you know it, where do you see the lines at? It's where they're getting the most off. But see, now I'm kind of chill there because I'm a vegetarian. And you want to see some reaction. You hear somebody say, yeah, man, I had one of them big venison burgers. You standing passing through the line and say, yeah, well, that's all right. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Man, you going to get one? No, I'm a vegetarian. What? They stop in there. You are what? See, things like that, I don't bring out a lot. But I'll do that for a reaction. And you know why? Because some people already have a hidden comment in it. And I don't know if you've heard this one, but I've heard this before. You know, my food poops on your food.
Yeah,
they do. They do. And you know what I tell them? Whenever I go to a place, my feet and my belly arrive at the same time. But what you mean by that? And most of them are heavy and fat. And by the time they figure it out, well, they can see you coming around the corner before your head get there.
I got a mud job. This ain't my first time.
Go ahead.
And you know what's so funny, Brother Davis, because you'll start to, like you're saying, and I'm glad you're laying this out for people, because if you've never been to a gun show, it can be a very intimidating thing if you haven't been around that, because there's a lot of psychological warfare that goes on when you walk in. And one of the things that you have to prepare for is that you're going to hear all kinds of Obama jokes. You're going to hear all kinds, see all kinds of Obama paraphernalia, which is all, you know, what it really means. But see, you can never, ever, ever, ever allow that to move you from where you're going.
To focus.
And stay
never
focused.
Let it take your focus.
Never let it take your focus away. And then what will happen is that they will see that you're not an individual that gives into that type of energy. And what does it do? It makes them bow down.
Yeah, because really, in that circumstance, now don't get me wrong, everybody got guns all over the place, but there's cops all over the place too. And the reason being is because they don't know who's enough. They don't know none of these people. These people might be 10, 15,000 strong.
Yeah.
So do you think they're going to sit back and say, oh, well, we're going to do a check on him and a check? No, they don't. If they do any checks, it's when you come in, they'll run your license plate. And now they got these here new techno gadgets where they can literally tell if your car needs inspected or the registration's gone. They can pick all that up when you ride by. So literally, if you cause yourself a problem by getting in there and making a fool out of yourself and your car is not registered, they got a built-in warrant for you already. Because they could take you to jail and just get you out of the atmosphere. But I'm going to tell you something. And mark my word, in these atmospheres, they don't want to take you to jail because they want white people to be jubilant. They spend more money. And you're going to see some money. And you ain't going to see a whole lot of credit transactions. I'm going to tell you now. You know why? Because it leaves a trail. They don't want no trail. These ain't first timers. They'll tell you in a minute. One guy stood up in front of me, pulled out his wallet. Yeah, I thought I'd come in with $600 or $700. I said, is that all? He looked at me and said, well, nigga, what you got? But, you know, he didn't say nothing. But
right.
Never let them know what you're doing, what you're looking for, or even what you got. Because literally, you're not making a deal with them. When you are into the negotiating of your deal, then it's entirely different about exposing what you got. And listen. You may hear them call you or call someone out their name to see your reaction because, you know, they always, I wasn't talking to you, so you don't pay no attention to them. I walked by a guy and he said, oh, one of God's lost children. I kept on going and the guy stopped. The brother that was with me, he stopped. He looked at him because, you know, he's one of these guys that's a martial artist. And he thinks he was about to break down walls and everything. Who's he talking to? I grabbed him. Come on, man.
Right,
whatever
exactly.
You do. That's right. Whatever you do, don't you say nothing unless it's for me. Because you don't know them people. And you might fool around with somebody who got a hair attitude and you show an attitude, they're in their backyard. I don't mind fighting. But I'm not going to fight them in their backyard.
Right.
He looked at me and said,
not worth it.
That's right. He said, looked at me and he said, well, was he talking? He said, don't make a difference who he's talking to. You know who he's talking to? The person who reacts to it. If you don't react to it, he ain't talking to you.
Yep.
You see, these are tactics that you must use to get what you want and get what you're there for. Because I'm going to tell you something. When them boys go home, they're going to talk about you anyway. You know why? Because you're going to be one of few people there. There ain't going to be a lot of us there. And when you walk in, and I'm going to tell you, I always walk in like I'm running things. I may not know nobody. But when I come in a room, you're going to know that's somebody I really don't want to mess with. I walk by, I'm cordial and everything. But I want you to know by the air that comes off me, that I'm not the one. Even if you think I am, I'm not. And if I got my wife with me, then I'm moving from side to side. I'm moving from her left side to her right side. Because if we're going through one of these large conventions and something don't look right, I'm going to get between that before my wife gets there. That's why I don't like to take her to you. Say, oh, I want to go to Erica. Please. I mean, I know they pay with that. This ain't the atmosphere. But I know, but you bring these guns home and I want to listen. A lot of times I buy for somebody else if I go to these shows. Said now, when I buy for myself, it's entirely different. And you can say something about me, what I bring home. But if you see somebody come over here, pay me for it and take it with them, then why do you get upset? Because I just feel like I'm missing something. You're not. And when I say that, I'm not doing it as a straw buyer. Okay? A lot of times these same people are with me, but they're afraid to take their weapons home. So we have a system. We go with two cars.
Yep.
And then when we go, we always go to Walmart, buy yourself a $14, $15 rifle bag. And you put that rifle bag on your shoulder. That way they know you're looking for a rifle. But they really don't know what you're looking for. Okay? Then when you buy what you want, you go ahead and you stick it in your bag. When you're ready to go, you walk out to the two cars, and that's it. We come together in two cars. And when that person who's leaving, take that bag, stick it in their car, pull the other bag out the car, put it on your shoulder, and you walk back in. They don't know what's on, it's in your bag. They don't even know if it's the same bag. In the meantime, that person takes their car and leaves. They think it's bags. The gun's still with you. That's the purpose. And that's one of the things that we do. And I put that out there very plain, blatantly, because in this day and age, you don't think for a minute that you don't have what we call a cowboy. And a cowboy is somebody who thinks that they can get away with something. And they do. They do. Sometimes, I mean, I just turn my head and keep right on going. That ain't what my mind is telling me to do, but that is what's best for the circumstance. So when I say that when I go to places with people, and I'll see them, and I'll make their buy, I'll say, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. I've even had one, the one time I had the guy's wife come. They came to the front part of the convention center. When you get out there, call me. We walked out to the front part of the convention center, sat in the car. He smoked a cigarette with her. I took the weapons out of the bag that we had, stuck them in the bag in the car, got out the car, left him, and I walked on back inside. Now, to them, it looked like I still had the weapons with me. But the weapons he purchased, he had. He called me up the next day and said, look, man, let me come on over. I said, well, my schedule ain't the best right now. Well, look, let me lay a couple dollars on you, man. I mean, I think that it went a lot easier because I was with you and just your experience helped. I said, okay, brother came over and gave me another $200. So things can work to your advantage if you're smart enough to understand what you're doing, where you're at, and what's going on. Always look for the exits when you go into these places, too. Don't be in a situation where you're looking for a bathroom. Find it when you go in. Because a lot of times, some guys go in the bathroom, they get in the corner because they don't want nobody to see how much money they got, and they're pulling out enough money to make their deal. Don't crowd them.
Don't crowd them, yeah.
They don't do what they're doing. You cannot understand this. In a circus atmosphere, you cannot stop the show. All you could be is a problem. If you take yourself out of the problem concept, it can be festive. So, okay, this is Saturday to talk to 6 or 7 buyers. I mean, possibles, you know what I mean? You got their business cards, you got their names and everything, you know. And now you're ready to leave. So on your way out, now they got their guns now. They got brand new guns. You know, you might run into any Yahoo now. But see, you have to understand, in the facility, they can't have a loaded weapon. But that's not saying you won't run into one outside. That's why I always carry one. When I say I always carry one, it may not be loaded in the moment, but I got a mag close enough where it can be loaded in a moment. Because see, when you go in, they'll ask you, you got a loaded weapon? No, I don't have a loaded weapon. Do I have a weapon in a magazine? Absolutely. Because literally, I don't know what I'm dealing with. Am I going to pull it out and be radical? No, I'm not. But understand the atmosphere. And this ain't only guys. Ladies, this ain't only guys. This is women in here that get it. You know, they make guns with pink handles and all that now. That's a whole new buying commodity they're trying to focus on. Women with guns.
Yep.
And it's blowing up. You want to add to that, Dave?
Yeah, sure. Brother Davis, you're absolutely right. And they have filled the niche for all, you know, for the gun manufacturers and the media propaganda has filled a niche way beyond, you know, the commercialized and it's big business. And, you know, one of the things I like about the gun show is that it gives you an opportunity to actually physically handle different guns so that you can see which one actually feels better for you. And Brother Davis was talking about how it feels and everything else. That's one of the great things about the gun show. And Brother Davis is absolutely right. You have to first get past the environment because if you're new to this, it's going to be difficult and it's going to distract you from what you really should be doing. Because the NRA is going to be there. They're going to be trying to get you to sign up. And you're going to see all kinds of characters. You're going to see people walking around with guns with signs in them because they're selling them and people are, you know, They race each other to a different position to see a gun, and everything else is pushing and shoving. People don't brush their teeth. It's funky. It's ridiculous because these people are looking to get there, but they can't wait. But the thing is that you have to go in with the mindset of research before you go, then take the opportunity to introduce yourself to other weapons that you didn't know that you know about, but you actually haven't been able to physically handle, because each gun is different and is designed differently. And so that's the reason why I really love, that's why I like going to the gun show, because it gives me an opportunity to see what's new on the market, what's out, and what people are buying. And I'm able to gauge the temperature of where we are in this world by the activity that's going on there.
Absolutely. And, you know, the sad part about that, when I say sad, I mean, you're going to find people in there who literally, they're going through things with their wives and all of that. And it comes out. It literally comes out. You're going to see a lot of things in there that you, what? She just did what?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it's a circus.
It's a circus.
It's truly a circus. And, you know, the sad part about it is that we, as African American people, fail to realize the important role that we play in just keeping America civil. Keeping America civil. That's a powerful statement. But literally, this is a very uncivilized country without people like us. The sad part about it is that they don't see it that way. You know what they see? They see that they're doing their thing, and here goes Toothless Charlie. He ain't brushed his teeth in 2 months. I'm going to walk up to you and say, what you doing here, boy? Just pay no attention to him. Now, ordinarily, you might have a different reaction, but never forget where you are. Just walk away from him. I got this rule. Just don't touch me. You can say what you want. Just don't touch me. And most of them, they follow those rules because they don't know who's looking. They don't know who's looking and where the cameras are. And there's always
and who
a lot of
you
cameras.
Are.
Oh, that's another
and they
thing.
Don't know who, and they don't know who you are.
And see, you, first of all, you being here is going to turn some heads. Believe that. You mean a lot of people fail to realize that when you come in there, they're going to be like, well, do you see what I see? Yeah, sure do. That's how they talk. And that's fine. Yeah, I ain't got a problem with it. As long as you don't touch me. That's the rule. I can get along with anybody as long as you don't touch me. Because then you cross the line. All right? Okay, so we're approaching the end of the first day, and you're going out to your car. Okay, you're reaching to your jacket pocket, and that inside pocket, and you got your pistols on your side, and you got your clip in your hand. Just walking. You don't have any problems, get in the car, drive off like everybody else. You have any problem, slip your clip in. Don't cock it. That gets too much attention. But slip your clip in. Because you don't want to be the victim of some idiot's stupidity. Okay? Nothing happens, go on about your business, go on home. Sit down with your business cards. I always write on the back of the business card the weapon, the price, and what I'm negotiating with. Now, the reason why I say that is because this particular time, when I go to the show, I told you I'm going to upgrade. I'm going to upgrade my Smith & Wesson 9, and I'm going to probably get a Glock. But if I'm going to look, because if I see a Colt AR-15, now, Colt's the original maker of this other AR-15. If I find one in there and they're under $1,000, that's what you call a deal. Because I could turn that if I decide not to use it. So I'm always looking for an opportunity to really do something else. Okay, my primary is to go in and upgrade to a Glock. But like I said, if opportunity presents itself, I'm going to make a deal there and then wait for about a week or two. Go to the local firearm store, because they'll buy it back. If they know they could turn the AR for $1,200, $1,300, they'll buy it back. So it'd behoove me go ahead, if I could find one for $800, $900, to go ahead and buy it, turn around, turn it over for $1,200. That's a small profit for me, but yet now this person who didn't have it in his inventory now has it in their inventory. Always think in terms of what is going to be suitable for you. Because literally, you're there because you want to benefit by it. Now, when I go home, I'm putting my strategy together the next day for the next day. And see, my strategy for the next day is going to be sure game, because when I come in there, it's going to be after 12 o'clock. And if what I'm looking for hasn't sold, they're going to be hot. You know why they're going to be hot? Because now they're looking at the clock. Now I'm going to go by everyone that I think is reasonable. And then if I see an AR-15 that's a Colt series, I might say, well, you know what? What kind of deal can we get? Well, this is a trade in, and for that Glock, and that, how much would that Colt be? You see, now I'm beginning to open up negotiations for other things. Do I have an immediate need for it? No. Could I find one? Oh, absolutely. Because remember now, don't forget, I still got organic farm outside. I can find a use for it. But really, that's not the direction I want to go in. But being a businessman, I'm going to look for that opportunity. So where was the ammunition the last day? What you got? Now, if I see this guy sitting over there and he got about 1,000 stack of AR, say, 5.5s, well, I could turn those. What you want for?
Well, give me 400.
No, I ain't giving you no 400 now.
Wow, what do you think is good?
I got 220.
220? I can't do it for 220.
Yeah, all right. Now, my shot, I'm going to go as high as 250. But I'm not going to tell him that. You understand? I'm working everything. Because I know if I can get that 1,000 rounds for 225, that's like, cool. What did I say about 225 a round? Come on. I could turn that real quick. So you always playing the game. You always playing to be able to come out of here. So that last day, it's, okay, well, look, I don't feel like carrying this stuff on. Can you do 200? Nah, I don't know if I could do 230. I said, okay, well, look, listen, let me see a bit. You can't do 230 for one. Can you do 230 for two? 230 for two? Are you crazy? No, I'm saying for 2,000. I'll give you 230 per box. You know what they're going to say? Right now, we're talking about almost $500. Oh, they might just jump on that one. And then I'll walk out with 2,000 rounds of ammunition I could turn right away, too.
Yep.
But now the whole thing is, you got to go in there. And I always tell my wife, I'm going to take a stack. So say you need a whole stack? Well, no, I may not need it. But matter of fact, I'm going to take two, just in case.
You got to...
Now, just relax, baby, because, you know, I always put it back. And if I can come out with the deals I want, I can put that money right back and may still be able to walk out with my Glock out of the whole deal for free. See, the whole thing is always to look to your advantage. You want to add or take away to that, Dave?
No, that's exactly one of the things that I always do. You know, one of the things that people don't realize with the firearms is the overall, the value, the retail value and the actual, commerce, capability of it. You know, because let me tell you, I always talk about precious metals, but one of the precious metals that I firmly believe in is called ammunition, and ammunition is going to be extremely valuable at an appropriate time. And the key is that you have to buy it when no one else, well, it's not really when no one else is buying it now, because Brother Davis could tell you, and I can tell you just in the last 3 years, how much has ammunition gone up and how much of the availability of certain particular calibers of ammunition has diminished, and that is going to continue to increase. And this is one of the things that's very, very valuable. It's an art to all of this that it needs to be engaged. When you start getting into the firearm, it's more than just buying a firearm for protection, because a firearm can actually it's a way of protecting yourself in so many ways. Financially is also one, because of this. I tell you, there's always a seller and there's always a buyer. in the firearms market. It's always a buyer in the firearms market. So you really have to be mindful of that. Great, great points, Brother Davis. And I'm really enjoying and appreciating it.
Hey, brother, you know what? Since you mentioned it, the other night I was at a Walmart in Illinois. And I was just running around, messing around the sports section. And I looked, they had some 5.5. I said, well, what are you asking for that? Oh, they 22 pack. Well, what are you asking? Well, yeah, we're looking for $7.50. I said, how many packs you got up there? He said, I got 8. I said, give me all 8 of them.
That's right.
You see, at that price, you can turn them. Right. You don't have to turn them immediately, but that may be something I barker with.
Exactly.
The whole thing is always think in terms of your advantage. Now, I paid $58 for all of them, and I got, like I said, I got 8 packs. So if I do barker, I might barker one of these at a time. And it depends on the circumstance, because if we're in a hostile time, they may be worth $50, $60 worth of trade to somebody, because they got a weapon they can't use. You see what I'm saying? You're always thinking in terms of what you're trying to do.
Yep.
And then again, what about my own? What if I decide to buy one myself? I've just got more ammunition for me. But the whole thing I want you to understand is this. Never lose focus what you're there for. Try not to buy the first day. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you, if you really get in the atmosphere, it can be darn funny. It can be actually comical. Because some of these people are just going to be like, I can't believe this. Yes, that's how they are.
Yeah.
And guess what? They ain't paying no attention to you, because guess what? To them, there, you're no threat. You are no threat. Now, they might have the personal concepts about that, but in most cases, they ain't paying no attention to you at all.
You're in their territory. As Brother David said, this is their backyard. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And see, you have to understand this, too, that your purpose for being there is entirely different from theirs. A lot of them people that are there, they got 10, 15 guns at home. All we want is looking for something for protection. So you got to stay focused so you can get the best deal on your something up for protection. Because literally, I have been to places with guys who I've known, white guys that I've known, and I've said, you really need all of this? Oh, man, this is my favorite one. I like to go to such this here. This is lightweight, and this got power, this got distance. This is how they are. And then they want to sit down and they want to talk about them. And, you know, I'm not one to sit around and talk about things of destruction. So I always have me out, because I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about a people. And I had said this to a white guy one time when we were talking about race. He said, you know what? He said, if it wasn't for guns, there wouldn't be no America. I said, that is true. I said, but that's built on racism. He said, you know, you black people just try to, you take that too personal. I said, well, I wouldn't take it too personal if you wouldn't take something personal. He said, what's that? I said, what would the world be like if there was no white print? What do you mean, no white print? Well, like I said, if there was no white print, if there was no, none of these things that are destroying the world, there was no guns, there was no nuclear energy, there was no, I went to at least 4 or 5 different things, and he looked at me and he said, you don't like white people. I said, well, how can you say that? Well, we do business a lot of time. He said, well, why would you say that? I said, because I want you to see the amount of damage that your appearance here has devastated the world with. But yet, you think that everybody should be community. You will not build a community destroying it. You build a community by building it. And you'd be surprised. White people get offended because they know when they look at their history, all they did is steal, kill, and destroy. And please, they don't want to talk foreign policy. I had some of them look at me and say, you know, you're pretty knowledgeable for a black guy. Like we're supposed to be dumb.
right.
So,
it's amazing.
This is the type of atmosphere you're going to be going into. And I want you to understand this, that if you have the right frame of mind going into this atmosphere, you can go in and get exactly what you want. And if you have the fortitude to come back the next day, you can even get a better deal on what you want.
Because the whole thing is to see, is to shop the first day, and make your deal the second day. And the first day, I always throw some numbers out because I want to see what her tangibles on is. Okay? Because the next day, when I come back and the numbers start coming out, if their numbers are a little looser now and work more to my advantage, because it's getting late in the day, they know they got to pack up and go. And some of them guys, when they pack up, they know they're going to be packing up 3 or 4 hours. Cause they come with that much gear.
Yeah, they do.
So literally, a lot of stuff they don't want to take back with them.
Yeah.
So everything everything I said to you, literally comes into play. And if you go there with the right frame of mind, you can not only get what you want and what you're looking for, you might be able to get something for someone else who might have said to you, you know what, if I could, I would. Well, you know what, I had to run across that. You said you paid $200 for it. What if you got it in the deal and you got it, only paid $110? And give it to them for $200. You're still making a profit. Never let money be the controller, because when you let money be the controller, you're going to start doing things for money and not doing things that you want to do. I do it because it's fun. I'm going to tell you, I don't like killing. I don't like what it does. I mean, there's some nights when I go to sleep, I wake up and I don't want to even disturb my wife. Because that's a part of my life that she doesn't know. She might say, what you sweating on? And I'm just a little overheated tonight. And I might wake up and she'd be there sweating. You know, at that time, a little flash here. But this is the camaraderie of marriage.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And understand this. And please, people, go. Because when you don't, you pay more. You're going to get your best deals at a gun show. Always. When you go to that gunsmith or that gun shop, easier to make a profit. And he got time. These gun shows, they're under pressure. Because you know what? Every time a show's over, they're looking at their inventory. What they got, what they get rid of, how much did they make, what they got to buy, what's for the, when's the next show. I know this.
Yep.
All these things work to your advantage. So don't think for a minute that you're going to be at a disadvantage when you go. If you walk boldly, even young ladies, be bold in your walk. All that tells them is that you know who you are. You know what I'm saying? When they say something to you, you ain't got to say nothing to them. And if they get all up in your face, I don't know you, then walk away. Because they'll test the weak to see if they break. And the sad part about it is that this is the mentality we live in. This is a perfect example. Look at some of these Donald Trump conventions. These yahoos are going yahoo. So don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in that. Stay focused on what you want. Stay focused on the money that you're working with. And always separate the money that you want to buy accessories with from the money you're going to do business with. Because the money you do business with is going to come out in a larger bulk than the money you're buying accessories with. And accessories might be, they got those little bullet earrings or something, or maybe you're a cigar smoker and you want to get a bullet punch. All of that's going to be there. All of that's going to be there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going to be there on Saturday, and I'm really looking for a piece of quartz. I like to get me a nice big piece of quartz. Now, this sounds strange. I'm going to a gun show, but I like to get a piece of quartz. But the vendors that come up there come from a plethora of ranges. You got the nice guys there. You got the leather jacket guys there. You know who's always there? The Outback people with the Outback jackets, the Outback sport coats, and the hats. They're always there. Certain vendors are always going to be there. Another thing that's always going to be there is the State Licensing Bureau. Because, see, they want to feel like they're on top of it. But a lot of those deals go down. They don't know nothing about. They don't know nothing about. No white people know it. But that's cool. That's why I try to be above board. And the reason why I try to be above board is because if I'm going with somebody, I'm trying to help them achieve what they want. But I got to prepare them for what they're going into. Because I'm going to tell you, understand this. What worked for me is I was the first African American in an all-white school that had a student body of over 8,000. So there were days and weeks when I seen no black people. So I kind of assimilated into that environment when I go in to these places. because you might see no, and I mean no, black people unless you pass a mirror. But if you do, always greet them. I'm telling you, I'm being straight up with you. I've run into black people from different places around right there. Outside the area that I live, oh yeah, I thought I'd come to the gun show. You might sit down for a few minutes to have some conversation to keep moving, but that's fine. It's all about that atmosphere. And always identify other black people that are there.
Yeah.
Because guess what? The white people won't. But see, that's what makes them know that you are substantive. And you can say, hey, brother, how you doing? Or you look at his wife and you can see her being all intimidated. And you say, hey, sister, don't worry about it. Just look at them like they're rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and you know what, Brother Davis, it's so important, you know, because when we go into these places, one, the vendors are, you have to anticipate and you have to expect that the vendors are not just, it's not like going into any other store or anything. They're not going to be courteous to you at all. Gun show people and not only that, people that run gun stores, they're not courteous and polite at all. There are no polite people in that business. They're very short. They're very contrite. They don't want it. What do you want? What do you want? Yep. 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 They're very short and everything. There is very little customer service. Understand that when you go, and don't take it personal, because this is what happens there, because a lot of people don't want you there because they realize once you start coming there, even though the business picks up, but they realize something too, that there is a market that's available that they only want to tap and they don't want you to be tapped into. People are getting extremely, extremely wealthy off of firearms.
Hey, Brother Dave, you know, I had an experience like that. I had taken one of my .22 rifles to the gun shop to have them work on it. First time I ever been in this gun shop or whatnot. And the dude was just basically ignoring me, man. And you know, he was not being helpful whatsoever. So, you know, I just left the store, man. But I can attest to that treatment, you know, or maltreatment when I went to have that gun fixed. But fortunately, I was able to fix it myself.
I'm not surprised, Scotty, that you fix it yourself. But go ahead, Brother David, in response to Scotty, what he said.
Hey, Scotty, I can match that. I went to a show and they was ignoring me. You know what I did? I pulled out my wad of cash and a whistle, and I stuck it back in my pocket long enough for them to see it. All of a sudden, I'm a different customer. Because I'm going to tell you, they're there for money, and they'll definitely let you know that. But don't expect people to walk up, oh, may I help you? No. They might walk up, what you looking for? Oh, that's over there.
Yeah.
What you looking for?
Right. It's a little different. But when you go for ammunition, the thing with ammunition is that you have to get there early. You have to know exactly what you want and go straight to that. If you're going to a gun show and you need to get ammunition because you expect to stand in a long line, once they let you in, identify where the ammunition place is and go straight there if you need ammunition, because that ammunition, the line will be long and it will be exhausted. Everything will be bought out.
And everything is in accessories. There's some people that come here, they're looking for casings. Other people come in there looking for black powder. Other people, they're looking for projectiles. All of these things play a role in that atmosphere. And you may not be looking for none of that stuff, but you're going to see when a guy starts pulling in black powder, and they're pulling out barrels of 25-pounders. And you'd be saying, wow, I mean, this is 25 pounds of black powder. Well, he's a reloader. And they go through it like that. And if you really get into the conversation, they talk about grams in the shell and the reload and the blasting caps. All of that comes in the jargon of that conversation of reloading. So if that doesn't, if you're not into that, don't get into those conversations, because literally you're not going to understand a lot of, let alone what you're going to do with it once you got it. I like to get in conversations where I can apply what I'm growing with. And the reason why I say I'm growing with is because a lot of that information I'm absorbing, so that when I get in a conversation, I could be able to be open and honest about what my understanding is, or if I'm going to do a little due diligence on it. I want to take enough information so I can get more.
And that's what this process is about. So yep. Now, that's basically covers everything. I do want to encourage this, that when you go to these places, eat good before you go. You're going to be on your feet a long time. Wear comfortable shoes. And don't look for a place to sit. Because some of the people who do find a place, they ain't leaving today. They might sit there for 2 or 3 hours. Because they're there for the ambiance. A lot of people are just there for the ambiance. So do those things, and you can find that you can go, find what you're looking for, set up the deal. If you don't want to come back the next day, make the deal and get what you want and get out. Now, if you want some ammunition for that particular weapon, if they sell that weapon, they could tell you where to go to get ammunition. So literally, when you make your purchase, say, you know what, I'm thinking about getting some ammunition for this while I'm here. Well, that man over there, he sells them in a stack of 2,500, or you can bet 1,000 rounds, or maybe if you want a 500 round, he can get all that right there, and he'll give you a good price. They know. And the whole thing is get that information so you can make your purchase. Even if you can get the gun, the weapon, and the rounds and come back, you come home a happy camper. Might not even spend all as much as you thought if you go both days. But the first day, they're going for top dollar, I'm telling you. And they're going to start high. But you go back the second day, going to be a whole lot more humble because you're going to get a lot more people because a lot of people come a long way. They ain't talking about coming back the next day. They did to make their deal that day. That's why I say you come in there about 12. I come in there roughly around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on a Saturday. And on Sunday, I come in about 12 and 1 because most of them shut down about 4. See, so they got enough time to make their deal. But by the time I come around that corner, it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock. They're going to be darn hungry. Or they're going to be very flexible, one of the two. Okay, well, listen, I'll give you all the information I can tonight. I'm definitely going to follow up with this next week. And for a few minutes, I want to talk about it on Wise Wednesdays. But let me reiterate, because I want you to understand, I'm a man of the spirit. So I do believe that these are tools of deception and tools of the devil. And when I say tools of the devil, I mean the only ultimate outcome for these are destruction. And that's not where my head is at now, because I've seen so much of it in my lifetime that I only manipulate myself in and out of hell, because I call it hell, really. When you go in there and you look at somebody, you're looking at straight up demons. And I'm talking about demons that kill on every level of death that they can get away with. And all of them, most cases, all of them are hunters to some degree. I just don't ever want to be the prey. And if I am, I'm definitely going to be prepared for that circumstance. So I'll update you after the show this weekend, next week, for a few minutes. And then I'm going to take you to another level on the spirit plane, because literally this is, like I said, I'm doing this here because I really want to help Cynthia. If you're listening, I really want to help you be able to go and find what is suitable for you so you don't have to continue to go back and forth through this, because there's not somebody around that is a man that you could literally trust enough to open that door for you. So I'm really hoping that this show tonight helps you. And when you go, if you put it on Facebook, you know, I kick right back to you, because I want you to know something. Regardless of if you're alone, you're not alone.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Brother Davis. And I would just add to that, and it's going to be very quick. Even if you are not, if you're not in the position to buy a firearm right now, go to the gun show anyway. Start to, because the gun show that you will go to in your area, the setup will be pretty much the same. You will see some of the same vendors. Go and familiarize yourself with that overall, because it is really a culture. It is really, really a culture. Go and see what they have available so that you can know what's going to be available in your area. That's a great start, even if you don't plan on purchasing a firearm or anything else. And by all means, even if you're not going to purchase a firearm, always buy some of the most common ammunitions and bullets, because they have a very, very distinct and invaluable intrinsical aspect to them in the future that's going to be priceless. Okay. All right, everyone. Just want to thank you, Brother Davis, so much for the show. Great show today. Thank you, Scotty, for being you. Thank you, Tando Radio Show listeners, for you also being you. And looking forward to talking to you soon, God willing. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, to be a blessing. And going out with my sister, but she's not my real sister, but I love Sade. This song is priceless if you just listen to it. Much love, much respect. Talk to you soon.
Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing how you love. Love is kind, love can give and get no gain. It's down a rugged road you've come. Though you had every reason, you didn't come undone. Somehow you made it to the other side. You didn't suffer in vain.